I see many people's faith traditions in the hospital because it's easy to recognize them because they live their faith. I can easily recognize the Muslim woman. I see Muslim men praying in the chapel. I see Amish all the time. And by the way, the Amish are not poor, okay? But I don't know if they're Schwarzentrubers or Mennonites. You see, Mennonite women dress like traditional Amish. Mennonite men, not so much. You know, Jewish women, they dress very conservative. They've got a full-length skirt. Jewish men, they wear yarmulkes and the tzitzit strings that, you know, that they hang off of their clothing. The Catholic nun, even those not wearing traditional habits, I can still recognize a Catholic nun. Franciscans, yes, you can see a Franciscan, but then you have to ask yourself, which franchise? Are they Capuchin? Are they conventual? Are they poor clares? You know, and there is probably a dozen or two dozen more different branches of the Franciscans. As my Jesuit history professor once said, Franciscans have a hard time agreeing. When they disagree, they tend to split apart like amoebas. Back in Boston, there's a huge, you know, there's a huge, lot of Franciscans in Boston. And of course, remember, I went to St. John the 23rd Boston in seminary, or in St. John the 23rd Seminary in Boston, the seminary for mature gentlemen, old guys like me. And then there was the Boston Seminary, St. John Seminary, which was about 10 miles down the road. That's where all the Boston young seminarians went. And there was a Franciscan seminarian there, and he came from an order of Franciscans that lived a life of poverty. Now, all Franciscans live a life of poverty, but this particular order, they tried to live as close to poverty as possible and did not beg for their needs. It's just by their outward example that they would receive charity. So these two seminaries, we would have, you know, we'd have elective classes in the afternoon. So our guys would go to their seminary, their guys would come to our seminary. And when it came time for elective classes, all of a sudden this Franciscan started walking from one seminary to the other. It was about 10 miles because he wouldn't ask for help. And finally, the other seminarians figured out what was going on, so they would always invite him along. There was another group of Franciscans, young guys in their early 20s that worked in the inner city of Boston to help minister to the impoverished children in that neighborhood. And they would wear their Franciscan habits, but the Franciscan habits were made out of denim. And Cardinal O'Malley, another Franciscan, would call them his sons of Levi. So these are all recognizable people, even the diocesan priest, such as myself, the black clerical shirt with the white tab collar, is still recognized today. I'm still greeted by many people, not even Catholics, who still call, say, "Morning, Father." You know, but I have not walked around Case Western Reserve in a while, so I'll report back on there on what the college students think there. What about us Christians? By what outward appearance are we recognized? We have allowed ourselves to become overly secularized in our day-to-day affairs that we have taken on the generic appearance of our surroundings. When I was living back in Washington, a group of priest friends of mine, at the end of summer, there was a particular parishioner that would lend us their beach house in Bethany. So we'd spend a week down there, and every morning, early in the morning, we'd go walking along the beach. And off in the distance, we see, two white dots coming towards us. The white dots kept on getting bigger and bigger as you're walking down the beach. And they were clothed from head to toe. And it's like, looks like Muslim women coming walking down the beach. We got closer to closer, and all of a sudden, looked at them and said, wait a minute, they got a little bit of blue, looks like blue, you know, blue tint on their saris. And it's like, oh, they're missionaries of charity. Those are Mother Teresa's orders. And of course, you know, it's bad luck not to talk to a nun, right? So of course, we're all dressed in beach attire, so we're quickly covering ourselves up. Morning says, oh, good morning. They recognized us. They knew us from Baltimore. You never know who you're going to run into. How are we living our Christian lives as a kingly people? As a kingly people, we are to build the kingdom of God here on earth. I think I've preached to you many, many times. It's one of my many themes that I always preach about. To effect change in our society, moving it toward the heavenly kingdom. You know, I see it in the Jews. I see it in the Muslims. I see it in the Amish. I see it in the religious orders. What about the lay Christian faithful? In John's first letter, he gives us an insight. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. So it's not our fault, right? Wrong. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and said to them, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of time. There he gives it, the Great Commission. Teach, baptize, be prophetic, be kingly. Have you ever heard the term lead by example? Remember, I was in the Army for 13 years, and the very first thing, in leadership is to lead by example. Ever watch those old war movies or modern war movies? Where is the commander? He's always out front leading the charge. Whether it be a second lieutenant or a four-star general, they're all out in front leading the troops. So the commander is always in the front, not in the tactical operations center in the back. That's where I was hiding because, I was a signal officer. I had to make the radios work. When they see us, they will know we are Christians by our God. I think there is a hymn that goes along those lines. If they know us, then they will know him. And when they know him, then they will know us. Later that day on the Bethany Beach, in the middle of the day, when all the other vacations out there are where, out there on the beach and they're in very little beach attire, all of a sudden the nuns are walking down the beach. All of a sudden you saw all the young girls all of a sudden quickly covering themselves up. It's like, wow, these nuns were leading by example in the battle of immorality. I don't know what you would call it, what you would see on a beach, but they gave the right example. Why do we have to do this? Well, as Jesus just told us, it is our Christian mission to evangelize, to teach, and to baptize. We hear in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at the apostles, they're doing such powerful things after the resurrection. They saw his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And now they're doing powerful things in his name. And what does he say to all the Jews around him? He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else. Because only through Jesus are we saved. I keep asking you this question. How much does he love us? You already know that. That is what we are celebrating in this Easter season. His death and resurrection. As we hear in today's gospel, I am the good shepherd. What comforting words there are knowing that he will protect us. You see, when you own something, you take care of it. You can see this in your mundane aspects of your life, you know, your house, your car, your boat, your garden. Yes, these are material things of this world which help us to live in this world. But you know what the real prize is? The most cherished of this world are our families and the communities that we build, that we form. Now that's building the kingdom. What father would not lay down his life to protect the family that he builds? It's a wonderful thing, new life. And I just found out I'm going to be a great-granduncle for the fifth time. My grandniece is expecting her fourth child. I got one more from another grandnephew, so my family is growing. Now, you may hire a security guard or install a Ring camera for protection, but there will not be a sacrificial commitment, a sacrificial love. Isn't that what we all want in our lives? Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. So there are some that are scattered that do not know the protection and love of Christ, who have wandered away from the Christian family. That is how much Jesus loves us. You're not going to get some hired worker to do that for you. To know us is to know him. If we live our Christian lives, then they will see Jesus living through us. And when they know Jesus, then they know who and what we are. For to know him is to know us and the love he has for us. How does the world know us? Well, that is our Christian lie. That is the mission of our Christian lives. By our example, by our witness to Christ's love in our lives, they know him, and then they will know us as well.